So in the previous year, we just barely introduced the principle of Kavosh Kemibushal. We really don't know a lot about the details of Kavosh Kemibushal in terms of how long something has to soak, what kind of liquids one has to soak in. So hopefully all those details will become clear in a little bit down the line. But the basic principle of Kavosh Kemibushal, that if something is soaked, so that is considered to be the halacha equivalent of Mevushal, at least vis-a-vis B'liyas that was given. That was statement of Shmuel, Dema Shmuel, Kavosh Kemibushal. What was unclear, fundamentally unclear in Shmuel's statement was, is that, do we mean that something that's kavush is 100% like bishul? And whenever the halacha speaks about bishul, we could just cross out the word bishul and substitute it with the word kavush? It's kavush is dino kibishul kol dini haTorah. What do I say? No, kavush kibibushul, chafadimion. That means that kavush has certain characteristics of bishul. For example, Blias, which is exactly what we're talking about. So vis-a-vis the world of Yerodea, vis-a-vis the world of Blias, the idea of transferring taste from kosher to trade, vice versa, etc., that whole sugya of Blias, alzeh ne'amar kavush kemevushal. But in other areas of halacha, where the halacha requires an act of bishul, maybe or maybe not, it's unclear whether that's included in kavush kemevushal. So we said that this is clearly a discussion of Minatora, because Kavosh Kemibushal is no question as a diminator. We had a Raya Bruf in the Gemara, that the idea of Kavosh Kemibushal, when it applies, is a deraisa concept. The only thing is we're still unclear is it something that only speaks to the world of Blias, or it speaks to other areas of Allah as well. So we had an inkling as the answer to that question is from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara told us that Kavosh Kemibushal in Torah does not apply to Basa B'cholov. If you take a piece of meat and you soak it in milk for 20 years, that's not considered to be Bas B'chol D'Raisa. We're not advocating eating that meat or drinking that milk, but with D'Raisa, that's not called that's not called Bishul Bas B'chol. Why not? Why is that not called Bishul Bas B'chol? So it sounds like it's obvious. Because Kavosh is not really Kibbushul. Kavosh transfers Bulias, but it doesn't create an act of Bishul. And in order to be Bas B'chol on a level of D'Raisa, the Torah says explicitly, no, Savashul, you need a Maisa Bishul, and Kavosh falls short of being a Maisa Bishul. So we're pretty comfortable on Friday with this analysis, that Kavosh Kemibushal is probably not really all that it's cut out to be. It probably is not really called the Maisa of Bishul. Then at the very end of the show, we said that a good way to test case this theory is to look at other areas of Halacha where Bishul comes up. So one of the cases we look at, maybe this will be the number one guess we're going to look, but one of the first cases we're going to look at is the area of Bishul as relates to Korban Pesach. The Torah says, Al-Tolchu imenu vosham v'vushul, that you're not allowed to cook a Korban Pesach, and if you eat Korban Pesach that was cooked rather than roasted, so that's an issur d'oraisa. Even though the Torah says b'mayim, the Gemara derives from sukkah mislav dafka mayim, the din is that any time the Korban Pesach underwent a maisa of bishul, it was cooked rather than roasted on open fire, that's an issur gomim in a Torah. Al tochu v'ed anav boshul v'shul b'mayim. So what would the din be if a person is kovesh the meat of a Korban Pesach? He took a piece of Korban Pesach meat, and he pickles it, he soaks it, he does something that would meet the criteria of kavush, would we say, the eating of that meat would now be a violation of an issur d'oraisa? So we say, no, that's not called basho mevushal b'mayim, that's not called the ma'aseh bishul. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses the shayla, and the Minchas Chinuch says it's a davar pasha to him that you would not be over basho mevushal b'mayim. What's his greatest raya? It's not called the Maisa Bishul. Gemara, if it's not called the Maisa Bishul vis-a-vis Bas B'cholov, it's not called the Maisa Bishul vis-a-vis other areas of Halacha, such as Korban Pesach. So it's a no-brainer, says the Minchas Chinuch, that you wouldn't be over the issue of Basho Mevushal if all you did was barely kavush it. So the din is clear, says the Minchas Chinuch, but the reason is not so clear. Why exactly is that so? Why is it that kavush falls short in terms of being a Maisa Bishul? And now, a chakira is having a child now. We had a chakira. Is it called bishul? Is it not called bishul? Now we're assuming it's not called bishul. Now we want to know, well, why not? How did Chazal figure this out? Why is it that kavush is not called a ma'aseh bishul? So the Bechaz Chinuch says you can understand this in one of two ways. Either you can understand this in the world of mitzvahs. Namely, bishul is a certain physical action. There are certain characteristics, certain chemical changes that happen, certain physical changes that happen when you cook an item. So it could be that kavush doesn't do that. That this is something that's simply determined in the world of the lab. You go to the laboratory, you cook a piece of meat, you go to the laboratory, you soak a piece of meat, and you look at the two, they're different. One underwent physical changes of constant of Maisa Bishul, and the other did not. So that's one very simple way of understanding why Kavosh is not really Kim Bishul. Trubilius, yeah. Tom, yeah. You're there, yeah. But Bishul, no. And the reason why it falls short in terms of Bishul, because physically, practically, we could see is it didn't undergo a Maisa Bishul. Or maybe no, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat is, from a physical vantage point, from the scientific, from the laboratory point of view, Kavushes kibavushel. If you really believe what you said, kavush kibavushel, it really underwent an act of bishul. But just because something was physically nisbashel doesn't mean it was halachically nisbashel. In order to meet the halachic definition of bishul, there may be a whole other series of requirements that have to be met. Where do we find such an idea? Well, we already know this from Mishnah Shabbos. We already spoke about this in the last sugya. The Mishnah, the Gemara, the third path of Shabbos tells us, if you cook something in the sun on Shabbos, that's not bishul. Bishul b'chama is not considered to be bishul. Now, it doesn't mean that it wasn't cooked. It doesn't mean that it physically wasn't cooked. It was physically cooked. If it wasn't physically cooked, I don't need a Gemara to tell me that's not called bishul on Shabbos. The chiddush of the Gemara that it's not called bishul on Shabbos is that even though the egg is fried, even though the water is boiled, this water is boiled and this water is boiled. There's no physical difference between water that's boiled in a pot on the fire and water that's boiled in the sun. It's the same hot water, same boiling hot water. Afapichain, alzeh nemar adin bishul, and alzeh lo nemar adin bishul. Bishul b'chama is not called a din bishul in the Torahic world, in the Beis Medrashic world. So when usually when we have these kinds of chakiras in yeshiva, so I like to present it to the boys as follows. When you're a Talmud and YU, so I appreciate the terms. I'm sure everyone will appreciate those a lot. Is this a Torah Dikadin or is this a Mada Dikadin? That's the bottom line. Is this distinction between what we're saying that Bishul of Kavush, the Kavush Dikadin, fall short, is that a chisard in Mada? It's a chisard in science, a chisard in the physical world. It's a chisard in the lab that's just not undergoing the same physical process as Bishul. Or do I say no? That it's not a difference in the lamb. In the lamb, it's the same thing. But in Torah, in the world of Torah, the world of halacha, there is additional conditions necessary in order to meet an official form of halachic term called bishul. Sometimes in yeshiva, we call this the pre-3 o'clock, the post-3 o'clock hakira. Pre-3 o'clock is the Torah party. After 3 o'clock, the guys go take the college classes. So is this a Beis Medrash Tikadin or is this a college Tikadin? That's basically the nature of this hakira. So the Menchas Chinuch doesn't commit himself to either one of these two tzadim. He says he doesn't know, he's not sure, but either one would be okay for his purposes. The goal of the Menchas Chinuch was just to convince you that if you do this on Erev Pesach, the Yekarim Pesach, don't worry, you're not Chayav Malchus. Boshem Mevushim Avayim, it's not. Why it's not? Afshayah, the name, this reason, that reason, either reason would suffice. But the one thing is crystal clear, says Menchas Chinuch, nobody can ever, ever dare and walk away and say that you're Chayav for Boshem Mevushim Avayim on Kavush. It's just impossible. Why it's impossible? Maybe this reason, maybe that reason, but it's impossible. And his biggest proof, the biggest support for Bechaz Chinuch is our Gemara, the Gemara about Basa B'chol. If that is true, so then if we want to extend the horizons a little bit to other areas of Bishul and Halacha, rather than running to Kofim Pesach, probably an easier place for us to start would be Bishul B'Shabbos. One of the Lamentas Balachas is, Ma'aseh Bishul, you're not allowed to be Mavashal on Shabbos. There is no issa of being mavli on Shabbos. There's no issa. One of the Lamentas Balachas is not to cause change of time. That's not a Malach on Shabbos. The name of the Malach is Mavashal, /Ofa/Mavashal. So in order to be a violation of Bishul, it has to be all the conditions of Bishul. So if a person is Kovish something on Shabbos, presumably he will not be Chayev. It is impossible to be Chayev for either one of the two reasons. Either for the Torah reason or the Mada reason. Either because in physical world, you didn't cook. What you did was kovesh, but you didn't do bishul. If you didn't do bishul, that's not the malach on Shabbos. Or even if you theoretically, physically did do bishul, you're not going to be in any worse boat than the fellow who cooked to the sun. The guy who cooked to the sun also did bishul. He also physically did bishul. And the lamb, he did bishul, but halachically it fell short because the halacha requires bishul, the h, bishul, b'or. So when all the dust settles, just as the fellow who tries to cook his basa b'chol of derech kovesh fall short, it's not bas b'chol deraisa. Just as the fellow is trying to cook his korban Pesach, derech kavush fall short, because kavush is not really kibushul. So presumably the fellow who tries to be kavush on Shabbos will also fall short because it's not bishul, either because physically not bishul or halachically not bishul. So the chur, it sounds like there's a direct line. Started with Bas B'chol. That's the only case the Gemara talks about. We went from Bas B'cholov to Korban Pesach to Shabbos, but the real all three of these halachas are expressing the same idea that Bishul it's not. Why not? So Rechaz Chinuch is not quite sure, but for sure it's not called Bishul.
Right, Korban Pesach, what's the problem if I were to be Kovish? Is that because I've used that in place of Tzli? Or is there something intrinsically wrong with the act of being kovish?
Well, the act of kovish is not the problem. The problem is eating it. Al tochlu mimenu no avoshel mavushel. So if I will be kovish it and then eat it, so that will be a violation.
If I did both?
So if you mevashel something first and then you tzol it afterwards, that's why there's a sugi psachim that once it's chal on the din of bishul, that's going to be a potential problem. There's all sugi about that if you do tzli first, bishul after, bishul first, tzli afterwards. But if you do kovesh alone, that is nothing. That would have been a violation of vashel mevashel, but the Bechas Chinuch proves from Bas B'chov that's not really true.
Is there a temperature parameter for kovesh?
Kovesh is no temperature. It's cold. It's mamish cold.
So it has to be cold.
I mean, it doesn't have to be cold, but
it's hot water.
Well, if it's hot water, it's going to be bishul. Then it may be real bishul. So the chiddush of kovesh is that even though it's not hot water, even though there's no heat here, it could still potentially become quote unquote either real bishul or quasi bishul. So look, Ora, we're correct in our analysis, and we can prove this test this by the Rambam. The Rambam, the fourth of the Maramikomus. So the Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos bechaveiz lachayud. The Rambam tells us, "Umutalim loach beitza." It's permissible to salt an egg on Shabbos, but what you're not allowed to salt on Shabbos is a radish or other kinds of vegetables that are usually eaten in a certain manner, often eaten in a certain manner. You're not allowed to salt these vegetables on Shabbos. Why is it also? Where did this sister come from? Malach is not one of the Lamedes Malachas. So what's also about salting things on Shabbos? Because salting is part of the process of pickling, of kavush, of soaking. And since it's normal to pickle, to soak these kinds of things, like radishes, people tend not to pickle eggs, but people tend to pickle radishes and cucumbers, maybe tomatoes, other kinds of vegetables that we tend to pickle sometimes. Things that are sometimes pickled, you shouldn't even salt them because it's near a kikovish kavashim. It looks, gives off the impression like you're pickling. Just as an aside, this does apply for us. There is a potential issur derabanan of salting certain kind of vegetables, certain vegetables that are not normally pickled would be okay. So, first, let's say wants to salt a piece of lettuce. People don't generally pickle lettuce, so that would presumably be okay. But if you want to salt a cucumber, that could potentially be a problem. So, the poskim write, based on the Gemara, that the way to salt vegetables behet there is if you salt it together with other things. You put some salad dressing right on, a lemon juice or something right on right away, so that weakens the salt. Then you're not really salty. Then you just put it on a salad dressing, so that would be okay. But you shouldn't just, let's say, have a plate of cucumbers and just start salting alone. That could potentially be a violation with the Rabbanan of a Gezeira, it's near a kikovish kivashim. But back to that story. So if something is near a kikovish kivashim, that's a problem. And why is near a kikovish kivashim so terrible? What's so terrible if it looks like you're pickling? Big deal. So now the Rambam gets to be very, very confusing. V'yakovish osim ibnei shu kibavashel, says the Rambam, and the reason why you can't salt your cucumber is because if you salt your cucumber, next thing you know is you're going to be pickling your cucumber. Pickling your cucumber, oh yeah, that's a problem. So I told you a minute ago, I'm going to bring you a raya from the Rambam that pickling and soaking is not a malacha bishul. I just brought you a raya against me. I just quoted you a Rambam that says, HaKovish Asu Ibnei Shu Kimavashel. So the answer is that the simple meaning of the Rambam is that not only is this not a contradiction, but this actually supports that theory for two reasons. First of all, the Rambam used a word and he didn't use another word. He used the word osur. He did not use the word chayev. He never said anywhere that HaKovish is chayev on Shabbos. He said HaKovish is osur on Shabbos Eishu Kibash. What's the difference between osur and chayev? A very, very big difference. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos tells us that there are multiple terms that we use on Shabbos to describe whether an act is permissible or not. If something is mutter, says the Rambam, then I'll tell you it's mutter. It's permissible. Finished. Green light, you can do it. If something is awesome in HaTorah, then I'm going to use the word chayev. Chayev means chayev chatas, chayev skila, chayev kars. Chayev means that it's the absolute bona fide chil Shabbos deraisa. Then you have a middle category that's called potter of al osur. That means you're not technically chayev for doing it. So if you did it, you wouldn't be chayev skila, would be chayev kars, would be chayev karmin chatas if you did it b'shagay, but it's still osur. So that middle phrase called potter val osur usually translates to mean osur mid derabbanan. 99% of the time, when the Rambam uses the phrase potter val osur, that means derais it's not, but derabbanan it still is. I've quoted this story many times. I think it highlights the idea of this middle category that's sometimes a little bit vague category to hold on to. Potter val osur. Remember when I was learning Mishnayos with my older son years ago, he was like 8-9 years old. So we were learning the Mishnayos of the Masechet Shabbos. Every other word is chayev, potter, chayev, potter, chayev, potter. So it's hard to explain to a 9-year-old the idea of potter. I mean, to say something you can't do, that they understand. Whether they listen or not, it's another story, but at least they understand the concept. To say something's okay, that they also understand, but to say, you're not allowed to do it, but if you do it, it's not as bad as if you would have done something else, that's already a fine-tuned concept. So I wasn't really sure whether he had chata, you know, I'm saying it over many, many times, I wasn't sure whether he understood it. Although at one time during the course of that limud, so he was playing with his younger brother, and he pushed his younger brother down the stairs. Now, the truth is, Baruch Hashem, wasn't too many stairs; it was about 3 or 4 stairs. And Baruch Hashem, nobody really got hurt. But I gave it to him, and I said to him, "You know what? What are you doing? What are you pushing your younger brother down the stairs for?" So he looks to me and he says, "But Abba, it wasn't so many stairs." That was his response. It wasn't like I threw him down 20 stairs; I threw him down 3 stairs. I said, "Come on, my Abba." I said, "I understand that. It wasn't as bad as throwing him down 20 stairs, but it was still not the right. You don't throw your brother down the stairs, even down 3 stairs. It's not the right thing to do, even though it's not as bad as 10 stairs." So he looks at me and he says to me, "Abba, what you mean to say is it's Pater of Al Osser." That's what he said. So when he said that, I chopped, I realized that he understood the concept. It wasn't as bad, but it still wasn't the right thing to do. So when the Rambam uses the phrase, and he snuck out of a punishment because of that, you just can't punish a kid if he says a comment like that. So it's bad chinuch when you start to laugh at the punishment. So comes the Rambam and says, a kovish osur, didn't say a kovish chayav. That seems to indicate that the Rambam is telling you that chayav it's not. So this seems to be not just disproving our theory, forget it, supporting our theory. But there's another proof, so to speak, to our theory. Not so much by what the Rambam says, but actually where the Rambam says it. The Rambam doesn't need my stamp of approval, but the Rambam did an unbelievable thing, did many, many unbelievable things. So besides knowing Kol Torah Kula, and I say literally Kol Torah Kula from beginning to end, the Rambam had an uncanny ability to organize Kol Torah Kula. Think about it, but the Rambam did was absolutely, was beyond sheer genius in terms of organization. He took a body of Torah literature that was spread by Arba Kanfas Aretz from Talmud Bavli. Now we know Talmud Bavli is organized, albeit in a, and I don't mean this in a negative way, in a disorganized way, there's a different method of what the Amorim were trying to accomplish. They were not trying to organize Torah in the sense of, okay, this is what you do when you wake up in the morning, this is what you do every Shabbos. If they did, then they wouldn't have written the Gemara the way it is. You wouldn't have in the middle of Masechah Shabbos sugyas about Bava Kama. We wouldn't be learning Masechah Chulin now, and we are talking about sugyas about Korban Pesach. So the Talmud Bavli was written in such a way that there's an overview of Kol Torah Kula, and you see the interrelationship between Kol Torah Kula, and because it ultimately wasn't written as a the goal of the Talmud Bavli wasn't to write a Psach Halacha, it was to give you Kol Torah Kula, so when you discuss Kol Torah Kula, you have to see the interplay between the different areas of Halacha. But with the Rambam had a different goal in mind. The Rambam had a different agenda than the Amoraim had. The Rambam's agenda, and he writes it explicitly in his Akdama to Mishnah Torah, is that he wants to give you the final work. He wants to give you the ability that for those who can't sit and learn Talmud Bavli all day and can't figure out how to extract all the Halacha L'maisa, he's going to make that's a Kitzur Chanach. He's giving you the final version, Otzkvo, shortened version, 14 Svarim, of what every single Jew has to know under every single circumstance possible. The Rambam could have sufficed himself. It would have been a great project if he would have cut it in half. But the Rambam said, no, I'm going to tell you what every single person has to know in Kol HaTorah Kula. And to do that, then you have to organize it. Because you can't just have a hodgepodge of, not knowing where to find anything. So the Rambam organized. And the Rambam was an unbelievable organizer. He took all of Talmud Bavli, all of Talmud Yerushalmi, all Tosefta's, all Sifra's, all Sifra's, all Mechilta's, any source of any halachic statement, of anything that was relevant, is relevant, will be relevant in the Moshe Mashiach, and he organized it. And he broke it down into categories, into 14 Svarim, and then he further broke down the Svarim into particular halachas. He broke down the halachas into prokim, and then he further subdivided into particular halachas, and thus was Mishnah Torah. So Mishnah Torah was not just an absolute mind-boggling achievement in terms of encompassing Kol Torah Kula, the sheer organizational skills of doing it without a computer. There was no computer. Everything was done but on parchment and pen and inkwell. That was it. That was the realm. So you can imagine, today when we write it, write a paper or something on a computer, you can patch it around, you can move it around, you go up, you go down, you delete, you go forward, you keep on checking yourself, checking your spelling, checking your grammar. Ram didn't have any of those luxuries. He had to do it literally by hand. That means a mistake or a nuance had to be erased and started over again. So you have to scroll your cloth back 400 columns to go backwards. So not a simple job at all. But the Rambam, sheer genius, just in terms of organizational skills as well. Because of the Rambam's genius in terms of organizational skills, you can be medayek something about the Rambam from not only what he wrote, but where he wrote something. If he wrote something in a particular place, that shows you something about the nature of what the halacha is. We just spoke about this the other night, Sunday night. I just gave a shiur in a night kollel. We were speaking about the halacha of visiting a Rebbe on Yontif. So we raised the famous question about what's the nature of that din. Is that a din of Yontif or is that a din of Kavod Tamid Chachamim? What's the nature of that halacha? And there are differences in the halacha that emanate from that. So one of the best riyas is from the Rambam. Not from what the Rambam says, but where he says it. The Rambam puts that halacha not in Uchaz Yontif. He puts it in Uchaz Tamid Torah. So from the fact that the Rambam quotes the din of Uchaz Tamid Torah, that shows you that it's part of Tamid Torah, it's part of Kavod Rav. It has nothing to do with Yontif. So too over here. The Rambam had multiple places to put this halacha of Kovish, Kavashim, and Shabbos. There are many, many places he could have put this statement about not pickling and not soaking things in Shabbos. The two primary places he could have put it were back in Perek Tes and Uchaz Shabbos, which is where he talks about the Diraisis of Bishul. In Perek Chav Beis, the Rambam talks about the Rabbanans. The whole Perek Chav Beis is dedicated to a whole series of different Rabbanans that look like the Arises. Don't do this because it gives off this impression. Don't do that because it gives off this impression. And he goes through different malachas. This is Kosev Deraisa, and this is the Rabbanan. This is Havara Deraisa, and this is the Rabbanan. This is Bona Deraisa, this is Bona Derabbanan. In that context, in Perek Chav Beis, is where the Rambam puts in the din of all places the pickling on Shabbos. Don't pickle on Shabbos, it's because of Nirakushu, Vipreshu Kimavashu. From the fact that the Rambam put it Dafka there and didn't put it back in Perek Tes, when he talks about what's real cooking, you could see from the Rambam that he taka held. Not that he forgot at 13 brachim earlier. He knew exactly where he put it. He placed it there deliberately because it's taka derabban, it's not a deraisa. So forget the Rambam's lashon of asur instead of chayav, plus the placement of the Rambam in this particular barak, all point to the same direction that Kovesh, Kavashim, and Shabbos is in fact only a derabbanan, which fits in beautifully into our theory, because after all, it's Agamar. How did the Rambam know this to be true? He read Agamar. He read the Gemara in Pesachim Mem Dalet. He read the Gemara that says that Kovesh, Kavashim, doesn't apply to Basa B'cholov. He realized right away, why doesn't it apply to Basa B'cholov? Because it's not really Bishul. Agamar in Chulin says, Kovesh, Karei Kukim, Mavushal. Kaf Adibim means it's like Mavushal. It has characteristics of Blios. You're a day, it's like Mavushal, but it's not really Bishul. So the Rambam connected the dots. He went from Basa B'cholov, Minchas Chinuch, took it to Korban Pesach, the Rambam took it to Shabbos. All three of these sources, Basa B'cholov, Korban Pesach, and Shabbos, all pointing in the same direction, that Bishul it's not. Why is it not Bishul? So Minchas Chinuch's Torah Madah Chakira still stands. We don't know exactly why, but Bishul it's not. So up until now, I've been presenting one side of the equation. I've been trying to sell you for the last half hour this theory that Kovash is not really Kimu Bushel. And the reason I presented it first, and this is probably the majority of you, most of the poskim seem to be going along with the lines of what we said. That's the Mechassim for sure went that way. The Rambam seemed to go that way, and the Gemara seems in effect to go this way. However, there is another side of the story. The other side of the story is taken by the Sefer Kresi Uplasi. Kresi Uplasi is written by Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz. Well, the Gedoyle Goyniel doesn't mean my Eskom either. Gedoyle Olam, Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz, and the Sefer Kresi Uplasi and Yerodea takes on the whole world, takes on everything we've been saying until now. And he learned Pshat in the Rambam, first and foremost. Very, very difficult to understand how he saw this in the words of the Rambam. But said the Kresi Uplasi, that Kovish also Bneku Kumavashel. You know what that means? That means Chayav Bneku Kumavashel. Says the crazy placey, it means what it says, that you're mamish chayav for cooking on Shabbos. You pickle something on Shabbos, you soak something, you do an act that meets the criteria of kovesh, al zed ne'amar, the av malacha bishul. That's called bishul b'Shabbos. That's an issa deraisa chayav, skil chayav, karet chayav, chatas, for being kovesh on Shabbos. The real McCoy, it's a real deraisa. And the question is, how can you say such a thing? How you talking davar kazeh? How could it be that Kovish and Shabbos is a malach of Bishul Deraisa, if the Gemara says Pemale, that Bishul, Basa B'cholov, it's not. What is the difference between the standards of Bishul vis-a-vis Basa B'cholov and the standards of Bishul vis-a-vis Shabbos? So again, if you don't go down the root of the crazy place, then it's a moot question. There is no difference. They're all the same standards. Yeah, Bishul, Nish Bishul. But if you go down the root of Yonis and Ibishitz, that you're willing to go out on a limb and say that Kovish on Shabbos is called the Maaseh Bishul Deraisa, yet it falls short in Basa B'cholov, you have a lot of explaining to do. You have to explain to us, what is it about this category of Kovesh that sometimes is Bishul and sometimes not? What is the difference between the standards of Bishul for Bas B'cholov and the standards of Bishul for Bishul for Shabbos? So we have to go back to the drawing board, back to that Menchas Chinuch where we started today. what is the deficiency of Kavush not really being kibishal? Why is it that it's not kibishal vis-a-vis Bas B'chalav? So Mechazchir threw out two possibilities. One was the Mitzias, and one was the Halacha. One was the scientific reason, one was the theoretic reason. If the deficiency is in science, if the deficiency is in the laboratory, if the deficiency is that a physical act of Bishul didn't happen, then it would be absurd to distinguish between the standards of Bishul for Bas B'chalav and the standards of Bishul for Shabbos. Because tachas, push comes to shove, we can't discuss the halacha until we have the science down pat. So if you're going to tell me that scientifically Bishul just didn't happen, didn't occur, and then you can start to split hairs and tell me, it didn't happen. In the lab, it didn't register as Bishul, Lagabi Bas B'chalav. But it did register like Abba Shabbos, that's absurd. Either the lamp, either yeah or no. Either you got a green light or red light. Either it is Bishul, it's not Bishul. So if you're going to tell me there's some kind of a deep, dark secret that differentiates your standard of Bishul between Shabbos and Bas B'chalav, there's no way you're learning a sugya in science. This is not taking place in the lab. That distinction between Bas B'chalav and Shabbos, if it takes place, which we're far from convinced it does, but if we're willing to defend Rabbi Yosef and Abishitz and claim it takes place, it can only take place in the world of the Beis Medrash. And the question is, well, what is that distinction? Why my height? So we disqualified the lab as being the sugi here, but it's in the world of Bishul. What's the difference? The Torah says Bishul, the Torah says Bishul. What's the difference? So how do we have to go back to the model that we also spoke about at the very beginning of this year? What was the halachic reason that we knocked Kavush out of the box? Why did we think that Kavush is not Bishul in the world of Beis Medrash? We gave a moshel. The moshel was Bishul Bachama. We said Bishul Bachama is physically, chemically, you know, laboratory scientifically is Bishul, but it's not halachically Bishul. So we said, oh, Kavush is like Bishul Bachama. In order for us to go to the next step and to understand the godless, the amkus, the depth of Yonatan Abishit's chiluk, we have to go back to the drawing board and really truly understand that din. Why is it that Bishul Bachama is not Bishul? If we understand a little bit more about why Bishul Bachama is not Bishul, halachically, in the world of Beis Medrash, not Bishul, then we can extrapolate from there to our moshel of Kavush, and then be able to perhaps explain why there really is a difference between different areas of halacha bishul. So we just left the world of the lab. We're back to the world of the Beis Medrash, but we still have a far way to go. We're still going to have to work really, really hard to explain the chilukim even within the world of the Beis Medrash. So again, if you go down conventional wisdom, there are no chilukim. It's kavush is not kibavushul. The whole thing is a farce. That's not really true. It's never bishul. It's just blias. Chazal never really meant it. They just meant characteristics of bishul. Never bishul mamish. Not for korban pesach. Not for shabbos. Not for bas b'chalav. Nowhere. That's conventional wisdom. That's the simple pshat in the Rambam. That's how the chayyadim learn pshat in the Rambam. It's only a derabbanan on shabbos. But if you want to go down the root of Yerushan Abishitz, then you're going to have to fine tune a little bit what exactly is a deficiency of Kavush, which will force you to understand what the deficiency of Bishul Bachama is. And once you understand the Chisaron, then maybe we could understand the split between the two. So we have a work cut out for ourselves from tomorrow. We'll pick up in this point.